So how do or how should kings act? We have very few useful examples of kings, because we have very few kings these days. I mean, our own titular king, Charles III, the head of government, so to speak, is essentially useless for what we do on a day-to-day basis. I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, he has no connection to us. Yes, it's theoretically possible that he could come and just sort of wander in and dissolve Parliament. It's just not going to happen. The other kings that I can think of off the top of my head tend to be despots and worse, and as such, I have no interest in using the king of Saudi Arabia or the crown prince as, say, an example for me. And when I look at how they act, all the way from murdering reporters and oppressing women, and the list is really far too long for us to get into, we don't really have anything there either. And when we look back in time, there aren't a lot there either. The only king, well, there's a couple. One will come up later, I think. The only king off the top of my head that I think gave us an example worth keeping was King Canute. Because King Canute, who was that time king of all kinds of things, not least of which was part of what's now Great Britain, was being lauded to the skies by his followers, and they were attempting, we were still close enough to Rome, where Rome deified its Caesars and things, and they were talking about how incredibly powerful he was and all that, and he said, okay, come with me. And so he walked his courtiers down to the beach, and he walked out, and he stood in the water, and he said, stop, to the waves. He said, stop, stop rising, stop coming towards me, I want you to stop. And of course, he just got wetter and wetter. And he came out. And the story is told in two different directions. One is correct, and the other is a hubristic story about a person. The more correct one is that Canute came out of that and said, I am king, but I'm just a human being. I don't have the power over wind and waves. That's a different king altogether. So that's not a bad example of someone knowing the limits of humanity, at least. Other than that, there aren't very many. So, how should kings act? And as Bill was reading, I was going through, and I was just writing along, like, things that kings do in the text we have. And in Jeremiah, we have this little list where kings protect, kings punish with justice, and kings rescue. In Jeremiah, the prophet speaking under the aegis of the Holy Spirit is letting people know that God hasn't forgotten them. Now, very much using the language of king, because that was the language the people would have understood, and laying out some of the things that God was going to do for them. And that's some of the ones that were there. And then we go into Colossians, and it's not quite as obvious as what kings do here, but we have Paul talking about what Jesus is. Colossians is a book about sort of the person, the reality of Jesus, and what that means for us as much as anything. And the couple of things that leap out is that kings leave a heritage. That's why they have numbers after their names, because we remember them. For example, we remember them well enough that there will never be King John II in Great Britain, because the first one was so appalling that the barons rose up and forced the Magna Carta on him, so at least we got something worthwhile out of it. But he's a terrible king. There's never been anyone in the succession, sort of the immediate succession, with the name John. That's a heritage. It's not the one most of us want. But kings leave things behind. They leave monuments to themselves often, but they also leave other things. There are the occasional good king who leaves behind a sense of care for the people, even if it's in a system that we don't think is the best. Fiefs and the like, and lords and that, is not the best way to hang our world together, I don't think. But there were some good kings in there who treated their people well. It's not out of the question. Some of them left a good heritage. Kings demonstrate the right thing. At least they're supposed to. One of the things that we see over and over again is people following kings, because the king is demonstrating what to do. Now, usually, at least where my head is in these last few days, I've been working my way slowly, because there's no other way to do it, through Will and Ariel Durant's The Story of Civilization. It's 11 volumes. Each volume runs somewhere between 700 and 1,100 pages. You don't knock this off in an afternoon or weekend or a month, at least not if you have other things to do. But where people followed kings into some of the most ridiculous places, and I'm thinking particularly the Crusades, as well as some other battles that I can think of. Agincourt, for example, where the French followed their king into an obvious and inescapable destruction that a child could see. If you have a bunch of people on horses wearing heavy armor, and you take them off their horses and have them walk through a boggy field, they're not going to do well. And they didn't. And the Welsh archers of England at that time dealt them a blow it took generations to recover from. So kings give us an example. They demonstrate things, but it's not always what we're looking for. And this is when we're getting back to this question. How do or how should kings act? Kings create. They don't create ex nihilo. Kings create laws. Kings create a space where good things can happen. Kings create areas where it's possible for freedom to reign, for example. Under some kings, things actually got better, not always worse, although it did tend to get worse. When we look in our Luke reading, it's a little bit harder to find what kings do, but Jesus says in verse 34, this is the New International Version, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. There's a straight line of this idea all the way back to the beginning of everything, which doesn't remove culpability from human beings, but it pays attention to the fact that people do what seems to make the most sense at the moment, because we don't think very far into the future. It's hard for us. And so often we do things that aren't very useful, and turns out to be that we didn't mean to do that. We meant to do it, but we didn't mean this to happen, that kind of thing. And so one of the things that happens is that kings maintain. The other good king, at least better than most that I could think of when I was running my mind back, was William of Orange, the Dutch king. One of the few kings that another country said, you're really good at this kinging thing, come and be our king. And so he became the King of England as well. And unless my memory is mistaken, the motto of the House of Orange is, I maintain. It wasn't so much I make bigger, it wasn't I go to war, it wasn't I kill the infidel or I get richer, it's I maintain. And what we see with Jesus is that maintenance of the reality of God's word from the very beginning, reshaping it to be sure, getting away from the language of the Old Testament that no longer fit, and pushing us forward now and under the Spirit to do the same, to maintain that sense that God has loved us from the beginning of everything and will love us till the end of everything, and has given us opportunities to do what we should do, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But all through that, the background to that is that human beings, as faulty, fallen people, don't always do what they know they're doing. We think we do. We always do. We always know what we're doing is right, which is why nobody is ever at fault in an accident at first. What happens in your average accident is that people, like a fender bender in a parking lot, is both people get out and yell at the other one. Well, maybe every fender bender has been a 50-50, but it tends to be somebody, we think we're doing the right thing. But what Jesus is maintaining through all of this is the grace that comes with it, because the last thing that kings do at least in this group of passages using this metaphor, is that kings save. Kings have always been called upon to save their people from warfare, from this and the other thing. There was something called the king's touch that people believed in and for centuries, that English kings could heal some diseases simply by touching the person. It didn't work, which is not surprising. Mostly they were skin diseases like scrofula and such things that really take a bit more than that. Cortisone, maybe some antibiotics. The touch of a unwashed king's hand didn't really heal very many people, but they thought it would. And when we look at this, how should kings act? There's nothing wrong with us looking through history for the occasional good one, but I think we're better off looking at Jesus. Because Jesus does all of these things in this list that I've just come up with, just of pulling them out of these three passages of Scripture. And in particular, Jesus continues to represent the person of God. You know, and as we become conformed more and more to the person of Jesus, then we become more and more like God, which is what part of what we're hoping for, is become more godly, not less. And Jesus saves. And once again, the English language doesn't help us much, but, and for those of us who've had the great good fortune, wasn't saying that in 1991, I'll tell you, but those of us who had the great good fortune of learning Greek know that what is being talked about in, around the word save almost always in the New Testament is that you were saved, you are saved, and you are being saved. Kings save, or at least they tried to. Jesus does. Always. Jesus has been keeping an eye on us since before we even were, and has all through our lives and will past that as well. Because the Savior, who is also the King, is the one that we serve. We can pattern our behavior after kings, and we see that in our technocrats in Silicon Valley who are very much modeling themselves on feudal kings, creating an environment in which case in a place where everybody pays rent, where you don't own the things you own, where they do, and you pay rent for the books you read on your computer and the software you use because they can take it back at any time. It's feudalism. But with Bluetooth. I don't think we want to model ourselves with that. I think I want to model myself as best I can after Jesus, who did what God asked Jesus to do and said to his followers, that includes us, be like me. I'd much rather be like Jesus than any king or any member of any royal family I've ever read about. That includes a couple of good ones here and there. Because how kings act is how we should act. I don't want to act like equally fallen, but better bred. I don't know what language you use for that whole business about primogeniture and all the rest of it. I want to act like Jesus. It's not easy. Sometimes it's really hard. But at least I know I'm acting in a way that'll be pleasing to God and will make me more like the person I was created to be in the first place. And it's the same for you. As we model ourselves on Jesus, we're modeling ourselves on the perfect one, so we won't get all the way there. But we'll get closer to it. And every day, as we work at it, because it's a bit of work, we'll get closer and closer. Amen.